Freeform's new series, Alone Together, is a buddy comedy about a platonic couple existing in that nebulous area between living with their parents and actual adulthood. The series premieres tonight on Freeform, and the first episode is available to watch on the Freeform and Hulu apps and on demand. Esther Pavitsky and Benji Aflalo are co-creators and co-stars.
I don't think there's anything quite like the show on TV right now. So I wanted to start with a clip that I think is sort of pretty representative of the sort of the tone and the humor of the show. This is a scene from the first episode where Chris D'Elia, who plays Benji's brother, and his girlfriend are talking to the two of you.
So you guys are not dating?
Just because we're both small and undesirable, it doesn't mean we should date.
People think we're dating because we sit on the same side of the booth at restaurants.
It's just easier to share food that way.
I'll give you guys $550 each if you guys have sex with each other right now.
I'd rather let an entire Greyhound bus spit in my mouth than have sex with Benji. No offense.
Okay, well, then you know what? Maybe you need to get a real girlfriend instead of whatever Esther is, okay?
You guys have sad eyes. Is that a good thing?
No. Sad eyes is a bad thing.
So the setup is that y'all are sort of the misfit toys in this sort of story, right?
Yes. Yeah. We don't really fit in amongst where we are, you know, and Benji's brother, who's played by Chris D'Elia, is like the cool guy, the perfect essential cool L.A. dude. And so that scene is like exactly it's just like the epitome of what losers we are and what we feel like.
Yeah. And it's also I have a very cool older brother in real life. And so at least when we sort of figured out this story, it was sort of based on Esther hanging out at my brother's house while I lived there because I didn't really have a place to live.
Well, that really happened. And Your brother offered us $500 to have sex.
Yeah.
And I was super broke and was like, I can't believe he would just give us $500. But obviously did not consider it. But I think we at least had a conversation of like, is there a way to fake that?
Right. And then we were like, well, he's offering 500. Maybe we asked for like we negotiated knowing we wouldn't. But we wanted, you know, you want to know what the dollar value on your sexuality is.
Yeah.
Is it off limits to ask if you've ever slept together?
It's not off limits. And no, we have not. Everyone asks us that.
We've slept in the same bed, though.
Yeah, a bunch of times. We've had sleepovers, but usually Benji puts a pillow barrier in between us.
During the pilot, we shared a bed.
Oh,
while we were filming the pilot.
For the short film and the pilot.
Yeah, the short. Did we share a bed?
Oh, no. The short film, we were in separate rooms. But yeah. For the pilot, we shared a hotel room.
We moved backwards. We made our own short film and had separate beds.
Because
we were sleeping
in your parents' house.
Yeah, and then we went to the pilot and had to share a bed.
Because we shared a hotel with our director, and it was two beds, and he had his own bed, and me and Benji shared a full-size bed.
It was tiny.
It was a tight fit in that bed. Did not get a good night's sleep.
How close is the relationship you have on the show to your sort of underlying actual relationship you have with each other?
I don't think there's a difference at all.
Yeah, I think we do our best to reflect our relationship. You know, obviously there's certain things that aren't exact, and we can't hit each other on this camera. No, we don't hit each other. But
you did throw a chair at me on Christmas once.
I didn't. I threw a chair at you?
I can't remember if I threw the chair at you actually or not.
But. Well, there used to be a culture in a comedy club where like there would never be audience members. So you could jokingly, like it's wrestling, throw a chair because there's no one around. So I don't remember throwing a chair at you.
No, I'm talking about your parents' Malibu house.
I'm just saying if I did throw a chair at you, I'm familiar with chair throwing and not hurting anybody.
Okay.
I know how to throw a chair and read the room, know where it might bounce off of. I don't throw chairs anymore, but I used to.
But yeah, I would say to answer your question, it's pretty much exact. Yeah.
Did you meet each other from both doing stand-up, or did one of you come to that first?
No, yeah, we met doing stand-up at the Comedy Store.
That's where I used to throw chairs, but you can't throw chairs there anymore because it's packed.
And
all the time.
I'm not, that's not the chair throwing I'm referring to.
I know, but I'm saying that's where I got my.
But see, I'm just saying
legs
that
in chair throwing.
The chair throwing at the Comedy Store is so familiar to me. I would have never even brought it up. I wouldn't think twice about it. But the chair throwing at your parents' Malibu beach house Christmas was memorable.
It's a zoned residential chair throw, but like I said,
on waterfront property.
You also don't forget, she also just said like 90 seconds ago that maybe she threw the chair. So just, and I don't remember throwing a chair, but I'm not going to take the stance of saying I didn't.
I mean, but we're 5 minutes into this and there's already multiple chair throwing incidents. I mean, and this show, even before it begins airing, has already been picked up for 2 seasons. So I hope y'all are going to be able to hold it together long enough to not throw chairs at each other.
There was no chair throwing during the filming of this project. No chairs were hurt and no people were hurt.
Esther also bruises easily. So if like,
yes,
if a quadriplegic hugged Esther, she'd get a bruise. That's how easily she bruises.
Can't say that.
Yeah, you can. You can say that.
I do bruise easily. I always have bruises. People always ask what's wrong and I never know. If anyone out there knows.
And she doesn't even drink. Most people who have bruises they don't know about are alcoholics, but Esther's just...
I'm dead sober for every bruise that I take in.
So the relationship is pretty similar to what you see on the show. How similar is sort of your where you fit into the world, the sort of the misfit idea?
It is exactly like, for example, it's something that happens to both of us and we do have a moment of, I think, I don't know if I'm ruining anything, but very often people will think we work at the restaurant we're at.
Yeah.
And we'll just be at the restaurant, or if I'm standing by a parking, people think I'm a valet parker.
Yeah,
and I could
be
wearing like
for valet at the Standard downtown.
Yeah. I could be wearing like a Von Dutch t-shirt and like jeans and someone will try to get me to park their car. And it's like nothing about me looks like.
Do you have a Von Dutch t-shirt?
I'm just saying,
I do.
I could look the opposite of a valet parker and people will still want me to help them.
No, I know. Yeah, I would say it's pretty accurate. I mean, obviously now we have a show. So people who know us are like excited about that. But if you don't know who we are.
Yeah. Someone handed me a crumpled napkin the other day at a restaurant. Like I worked there.
We're often
I'm not joking.
Overlooked. Oh my God. I was at a.
Can you take this?
I was walking around the Silver Lake Reservoir and I was like, oh, just so you know, like, don't go over there. There's coyotes. And like to a group of tall, beautiful people. And they just pretended I wasn't there, which is common for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that people think the two of you are 16 years old. I mean, you could pass for pretty young, right?
I think that's part of it, but I don't know.
I don't know what it is, because getting mistaken for not being just a civilian in the situation and having to work for somebody, it happens so often that I don't know if it's the way I dress or... No, the restaurant I was at where the woman handed me a crumpled napkin, it was a very young restaurant. Like, I felt old.
I
think it's my vibe.
I was at a nightclub and a girl came up to me and was like, do you guys have any more cups? And I was like, I'm talking to my friend right now.
Yeah.
And I don't work here.
You're both sort of smallish people. Is that polite to say?
it's polite
accurate.
For me.
It's accurate.
Is that something that's been a relatability point between the two of you for the show?
I don't know. I mean, definitely that goes along with why we feel people, when they see us, they think we should be together because we're both small. We both have a little bit of like Jewy features.
I think it satisfies the human brain if like they're like, oh, you two look alike, you belong together. It's like, you know, it's what they want to see.
Right. But in reality, Benji would never date a girl my height and I would never date a guy his height.
I would date a girl your height.
I guess I've dated
guys. It's also different for girls to be small than it is for a guy to be small. So I don't know how much.
Well, yeah, but my point is
that. Tall guys like you.
Some do. Some do. Sure. I think my point is that because we both look like we should be dating, but the reality is we both want to be dating someone who is the opposite physically of the other person. And we're open about that, and that's fine.
One time, remember the face swap you did with Eliza Schlesinger? Esther looked good. I was full-blown attracted to Esther Swape face swapped with Eliza Schlesinger. Can I say that? Am I in trouble?
Unless you're in trouble with Eliza, I don't think she would
Eliza's
have a problem
engaged,
with that.
So no disrespect to your soon-to-be husband, but when you face swapped with Esther, I was okay with it.
Basically, you just like blonde women with big boobs.
Who doesn't?
So there's no will they, won't they sense in the show. And that's something y'all make pretty clear up front, that this is not a romantic comedy where the two of y'all are going to wind up together at some point. How do you sort of approach that? This is not the kind of show where the tension comes from that.
I think it's just more of a, not to reduce it to one thing, but it's more of a buddy comedy. It's about friendship and I always mention how I think people of our age demographic are sort of more reliant on friends because millennials don't really get married anymore and traditional relationships aren't really a thing. So I think friendship plays a bigger role in people's lives, especially in mine. And I think that's what it's about.
I also like grew up watching shows like The Office where, you know, there's Jim and Pam. And for many of the first few seasons, like they were kind of they weren't necessarily together yet. And I know that's a big trope of sitcoms. And there's something about that, that even though I am just like everyone else, I enjoy it. It also frustrates me that there has to be this will they won't they tension in most sitcoms we've seen. And like, why can't a guy and a girl just be friends and not have it be sexual?
Yeah, I agree. And I also don't think sex is that interesting. And after like 10 episodes of Will They, Won't They with anybody, you're like, just do it. Come on, just do it or don't do it. It's just so I don't like leaning onto that too much because it is what it is.
There's the very opening scene of the show is, I think, something that very artfully establishes that you're not going to be a couple in the show. Let me play that clip.
Hello.
I saved you from a walk of shame.
I'll have you know that the walk of shame is an anti-feminist construct. Okay, do I look like I'm in shame?
You're not a feminist. You're just too lazy to walk.
I wasn't too lazy to smash with a guy last night who's basically Ryan Gosling.
Hey, Esther, you forgot your night guard.
Man, Ryan Gosling really let himself go.
Chubby, hairy guys make me feel skinny and pretty like Rachel McAdams. Throw it to me.
I don't want to touch it. It's moldy.
It's not mold. It's just pesto.
We had barbecue last night.
Just throw it down. You really have to nudge him to touch stuff.
And that to me packs a lot of very artful exposition into one short scene. You know, you're establishing the relationship between these two characters and all of a sudden it's, you know, like you say, it is a buddy comedy. It's not a will they, won't they.
I love that the clips you're playing are all the ones that were exact real things that we experienced.
I also like that you keep saying artful exposition. Makes me feel like we did something good. It just sounds like we're good at stuff.
Well,
like,
it is.
I mean, artful exposition. Yeah, we did.
You think about exposition in a show like this is like the two guys talking to each other about what their jobs are or where they go to school or something like that, or two girls talking about where they work or what school they go to. And it's like, this was sort of smarter and funnier than that. It was, you know, one guy picking up the platonic, you know, girlfriend from her date with an overweight guy. And it establishes all of these things that, you know, that go into what the show is about from the, you know, from the very first sort of 30 seconds of the show.
Totally. And as Esther mentioned, that is a true story that I did pick up Esther from a guy's house.
That was a rough day.
Always there for you.
It was interesting because you don't think normally that you like have an interaction first thing when you walk outside of a guy's house that you just slept with. But like, I had that with Benji and he always says that it felt like I had the vibe of that I had just gone back to the mailroom. Like I just was defeated, which is not good, actually. That's really not good.
What about chubby guys who look like Ryan Gosling? Is that one of your things?
I am into chubby guys. Yes, that is my thing. They don't have to look like Ryan Gosling and I prefer they didn't. I don't want anyone that has any resemblance near Ryan Gosling because I don't like attractive men. I like other types.
So tell me about developing the show. Did this go out as a pitch or did you develop this with Freeform from the beginning?
So Esther and I always wanted to sort of pitch something and we had tried pitching stuff before without anything to pitch with. So
we did?
No, I think separately, I mean.
Oh.
Like we had both tried to pitch things on our own and, mm-hmm. and we were so, I don't want to speak for you. Let me know if I'm saying something wrong, but I think we were both sort of like not really excited to pitch something again without proving we could do something. So basically we made a short. It took us forever to figure out how to put it together, but
took us forever to write it.
Yeah.
We found an awesome director, Jacob Pinger.
Yeah. And
once we found him, everything went into place, but we both had no experience in this field at all whatsoever. Cause we were just stand-up comedians. We weren't like film students or anything like that. So it was very challenging to figure out like the odds and ends of putting together a film. So we did that.
And then people liked it. And yeah. And then we,
I knew that I wanted to attach like a cool producer to it. And so we had my agent send out to like a bunch of cool production-y type places. And I'm like, yeah, this is great. We're going to like meet with people. And then everyone said, no,
nobody would meet with us.
No one would even take a meeting. And then finally,
and our agents were like, we love it, but no one wants to meet with you. We were just like, okay. There was like so much, there's so much of that where people are like excited and then nothing happens.
Yeah. And so
not even Lonely Island.
So then finally, like, we sent it to them and they were the last place and they were the only place that accepted a meeting.
Yeah.
And in our meeting, we were so defeated by all of the no's so far that we just told them. We were like, yeah, you guys are the, we were like, we got to go in and crush it. And then by the time we sat in there, we were like, yeah, just so you guys know, no one else would meet with us.
Yeah. But they were really responsive, Billy and Jason. And we were so excited that they were excited and wanted to work with us. And
yeah.
And then we met, and then we attached Eben. Did Eben come? And then we attached Eben Russell, who's our co-creator, and he's awesome.
And then we pitched it and we sold it everywhere we pitched it. And then we decided to go with Freeform.
Yeah. Let them know, Esther.
After I saw the pilot in April in LA, and it was the day that I came and watched a day of production on episode 3, I think, the hospital or the doctor's office episode.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at what Freeform does, it's a little soapier, it's a little younger, and then looking at what y'all are doing and sort of what did you think you were making?
I weirdly feel like us being in Freeform is our own like misfit way of approaching things, because it doesn't really make sense. At least it didn't at the time. But we also had conversations with them and they told us, you know, this is the direction we want to go in. Obviously, when we sold it at Freeform, that was the biggest shock. We almost looked at that pitch like it was just a warm-up pitch or something, you know, to get practice in. And
because we were pitching, like, our pitch was kind of, I don't want to say blue, but it was,
yeah, it was
edgy. Is
risque?
That the
right?
Yeah, risque. So the stuff we were saying in most of our pitches, we then walked into what was like the ABC Family Office kind, yeah, of still with, like, you know, Bizardvark's posters on the wall. And we're like, oh my God, we are going to scare the fuck out of these people.
I actually now remember that we were like, oh, this will never happen.
Yeah.
And well, we thought that about every place, but particularly with,
yeah,
when they told, yeah, it was very shocking when my agent said that ABC Family was interested. I don't even know if they had the new name at that time yet.
Right. They kind of did. And then even when we told them about the pilot, once we agreed to work with Freeform, we're like, oh, all right, yeah, here's what we're 100% certain we want our pilot to be. Part of us were like, we are so stupid. There's Mickey Mouse. Everyone's at Disney. Like, they're going to think we're crazy. And then, like, we love it. And we're like, okay.
Yeah. I remember we were like prepared to not do that pilot.
Yeah. But it's our pilot.
Yeah. They let us do it. And it does have some stuff in it that you wouldn't,
yeah, I mean,
expect.
The show's kind of a sex comedy.
Yeah. A little, I guess. Ooh.
Yeah. We're sexy. And not to be ass kissy, everyone at Freeform, all the executives have been so cool.
I know.
And all the people we work with are awesome. And
do you know what's funny is
too,
recently I was asked how I felt about the people at Freeform. And I said something like, oh my God, I love, and they're like, you don't have to like lie to us. I don't know, because I sounded like I was doing a commercial,
right,
for Freeform.
No. Because
it has just been a really positive experience.
Everyone's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had any notes about language or whether you say the word dick too much? Or
yeah, I think sometimes, you know, they say cut down the curse words, not cut them out completely, but like, let's, yeah, not have 15 of them in, yeah, one episode.
Yeah. They'll be like, can you get these 10 shits down to 4 shits?
Yeah.
And we'll be like, sure, okay.
Conversations like that happen, yeah, a lot. But that's fine with me. Like, I'm not all about cursing, and neither of us,
yeah,
are particularly blue. So it does feel like the show and the network are representative of our taste as well. We're like, yeah, we swear a little, we have a little bit of dirty stuff, but it's not like we're not all about that.
Yeah, we're so clean that this conversation makes me uncomfortable.
Stand-up's been kind of an interesting path to writing and TV. You see, I think, improv people doing the kinds of shows that are like your show. I mean, what did you see coming out of stand-up, the people in sort of your generation of comedy that were already doing TV? Were they writing on shows like this? Were they in shows like this?
I think a big part of the reason we wanted to shoot a short film is because a lot of the people who did get their own shows, like, were either making sketches online and so we felt like we had to make something. Like, I know at the time, like, Workaholics was really popular, and mm-hmm. those were a bunch of, you know, pretty much guys my age that
they had, yeah, like a web thing.
Yeah. And I think not only did putting that short together show that, like, we can function in front of a camera, That's the nicest thing that we, you know, you got to prove you could do it because you're competing with people who have. So, yeah. And when I looked at the time when we were making our short at all my friends and fellow comedians who like had their own show already or were doing things, most of them I could be like, oh, well, there's all the sketches they made or there's that funny short they did or mm-hmm. so.
Maybe they didn't necessarily have shows because I can't think of specific examples, but people who maybe had like got acting work or had development projects right. and stuff. But one of our contemporaries, Gerard Carmichael, he was someone who had a show, you know, that was like loosely based on his stand up and his life. And that happened like that. He was probably one of the first of our people.
Yeah. But even like when I'm thinking about like when we're making our short, like I'd be like, Andrew Santino was already doing good. And I was like, oh, well, he made his own web videos and stuff. And Rick mm-hmm. Glassman, who was on Undateable, I was like, and then, of course, the Workaholics guys and always the Always Sunny people made their own shorts. So that was like mm-hmm. a big part of what like was like, OK, if we want to move up and do something, we're going to have to like prove it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been some recent shows and shows I've really liked where comics are playing kind of a version of themselves, but the show is not really about that. And I guess that would be like Aziz Ansari's Master of None, Pete Holmes is Crashing, although it's a little more about the comedy. And then Andrea Savage's I'm Sorry, which is really not about, you know, sort of her comedy background at all, but it's just her, you know, her underlying job. What do y'all think about sort of the way you wanted to handle your jobs in the show?
I think we both felt like, hey, we are stand-up comedians. That's like our job that we, or at least we want that to be our job in real life, but that's not our whole being. And so for us, the show is kind of about stand-up comedians, but it's about their life outside of stand-up, because just because we do stand-up doesn't mean that's all we do. And I don't know, we really wanted it to be about a well-rounded lifestyle. And in the show, we don't have jobs, but we are stand-ups, but I don't even know if we address stand-up comedy in more than one episode.
Maybe a couple, but it's not what we wanted our show to be about. And I think we both felt that so many TV shows were about comedians being comedians, and we didn't really want that.
Why do you think that impulse is out there right now? I mean, even like Kumail Nanjiani's movie, he is a comic in the movie. It seems like nobody's, you know, a mailman or you know, a server at a restaurant or anything. Everyone is sort of playing that they're a comedy writer or a stand-up comic or an improv comic. Why do you think that is?
I think it could have maybe something to do with like podcasts getting so popular and you know, stand-ups realizing that looking into the world of stand-up comedy is something people like doing and feeling like they get it. And I think like the comedy nerd fan is like becoming more intense and wants to know more. So I think the reason why it is because overall people do like it. It's something wrong with being a comedian with a show about being a comedian. So I think people like it, and maybe something to do with reality TV where everyone just wants to feel like they're in on the thing too. I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'm curious and wanted to ask also about how you actually put the show together. And I've got a clip I wanted to lead into that.
Yeah, all my jokes are really personal and about me.
Can I hear one?
Sure. The name Esther isn't like really for a hot girl. So I feel like I'm Esther pretty. That's like as pretty as you can be with the name Esther.
Okay. No eating during joke time.
Oh, my God. Do you really think it's that funny?
My God, that's brilliant.
It's so cool to talk to you because I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm a loser because I only own one towel.
Well, I could take you shopping after this. I think it's weird.
Are you kidding me? If I was home in Illinois right now, that's exactly what I'd be doing with my dad. So, of course, that's not weird.
Good. In that case, I want you to have some of this soup.
Yes, please.
So that's a scene of Esther on a date with Jim O'Hare, who I think people will recognize from Parks and Recreation. How did that scene happen? Is that a scene that you shot as scripted and then you shot a bunch of other ways? Or how did you shoot that scene?
It's pretty scripted.
No, that scene
was a lot of improv, too.
Yeah, that scene, I feel like we had... on that particular day in that location when we shot our pilot, we had a lot of time. And so we really got to improvise a lot. Like, me telling a joke was never in the script.
Was it?
No. And I remember sitting there, for some reason I couldn't think of any of my jokes, and I was like so relieved that one came to me. But yeah, that was a lot of improv, especially with Jim O'Hare. He is like so immensely talented. It's like, it kind of freaks you out. He's so good. So he was just, it was a really fun scene to shoot.
It was fun. Yeah. We had a lot of extra time. And even after like a few takes, it was already so funny, but it was just like, well, we have another hour here until we can get to the next location. So they just kept going and going. It was really funny.
That scene though is really cringeworthy, I gotta say. For me.
Well, and as you've been sitting down and putting episodes together, have you found yourself using the scripted take or the improv takes more often?
I think it's like a mix.
I'd say it's like 80% scripted, 85% scripted, something like that.
Yeah. We had such a tight shooting schedule that we really stuck to the script a lot more in the series. But there's still some good improv in there too. A good amount of improv.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you'll have a scene that, you know, you put on its feet and you don't feel as confident about it. And then you'll be like, okay, maybe this scene we can mess around a little more. And then other scenes are like a little more artfully expedited. I was trying to say artful exposition again, but I couldn't conjugate it right. So it just sort of depends.
Has knowing that you're going to get a second season factored into the way you finish this season at all? Or were you already finished when you found out?
Yeah, we were already done, unfortunately. So, but
why unfortunately? Knowing you had a second season, you would have like pissed on the floor of the stage, been like, we got a second season.
No, but you know, maybe we could have at least committed to like a cliffhanger or something.
Right.
Which we talked about, but we could still.
When will you start on the second season?
It happened so fast. We were not expecting that news. It was quite a shock. We were told that we wouldn't find out till March. And then we found out in like early October.
I remember asking someone, being like, is there a chance we get picked up before it airs? And they were like, no. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm just asking stuff. Okay.
Yeah, most of Freeform shows that have aired this year have been picked up after the run was finished. I think the last two or three shows they've picked up were after new episodes stopped airing. They must really like your show.
It's a real love affair.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me. I love the show. I've seen three episodes. Looking forward to seeing more. And good luck with the show.
Thank you. This is really fun. Yeah, thanks.